Go ahead and try it on me, I said. It's only fair. I ruined the Nerf stakes.
Very well. They shall be avenged.
She staggered over to the case of stun sticks and pulled out two, flipping them both on. The air around them rippled for a moment with an energy field and then settled. Lurching toward me and grinning through her visor, Nikari reached out with her right hand and thwacked me on the pate, which I could feel but hardly hear inside the helmet. Her voice crackled through the comm.
Anything?
I'm not unconscious, so that's good, I said.
Copy that. Double strike incoming!
Both sticks pounded on the top of my helmet, but I felt only the indications of a soft impact. She wasn't striking hard and shouldn't have to. No effect, I said, encouraged. Try the sides and the visor, too. Experimentation continued, and we discovered that the visors were not as well shielded. The stun stick didn't knock me out, but I did feel a shock, jerk away involuntarily, and then topple backward from the weight of the helmet. Okay, good to know, I said.
Good to know they work, that's for sure,
Nikari said as she helped me up.
I'm going to have a ton of notes on these suits for my father, but I think they should keep us alive long enough to stun anything that lands on us.
We had enough empty hours ahead that some rack time was not only feasible, but advisable. So we took advantage and asked R2 to wake us when he was ready to jump into the deep core. He did so, and after we guzzled some black, bitter instant calf that succeeded in clearing our heads while savaging our taste buds, I annoyed him by asking to triple-check his coordinates with the Desert Jewel's nav computer. It took him less than 10 seconds, but he sounded affronted. Sorry, R2, but I've never jumped into the deep core before. It's crowded in there, and things move fast, and this isn't a well-established route yet, so I think an abundance of caution is warranted. That seemed to mollify him, and I let him take us in for the jump. It was only 15 minutes until the white lines of the stars collapsed into pinpoints again, and we were in the Shaw-Carat system. A red sun and a black planet crisscrossed with a web of crazed orange faults. Fex appeared from orbit to be a serene contrast to the angry planet. A cool, soft plum scoop of ice cream. The whole system was beautiful from orbit, and since we were in the deep core, the sky was thick with stars. I reminded R2 to take Hollows for the benefit of the Alliance, even though we wouldn't use Fex as a base. Maybe the orbit itself would be useful. I wanted to remember it regardless. We were among the first ever to see Shaw-Carat and Fex in person. Nikari sent the signal to activate the Harvester's beacon, and we set a course for it as soon as our sensors picked it up. While the Jewel took us in on autopilot, we climbed into our bulky armor, but decided to leave the helmets until it was time to open the airlock. We followed the beacon signal down to a plain of lavender grasses on the edge of a forest, a canopy of leaves like purple cotton perched on toothpicks. The Harvester rested there, seemingly undamaged from the outside.
So far, so good,
Nikari said, landing the Desert Jewel on the far side, putting the Harvester between us and the forest.
Nothing can drop down on us going from ship to ship.
Scans revealed life forms inside, but not enough to make up the entire crew of the Harvester. Attempts to raise them by a comm failed, so we had no choice but to investigate in person. Swathed in our armor and practically teetering from the weight on our necks and shoulders, we set armored boots on the surface of Fex and trudged toward the ship. Stun sticks in each hand and blasters on hips. R2 burbled something that might have been an